This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Welcome. This is Making Yourself at Home radio show and podcast,
where you can listen to wonderful stories from many migrants in New Zealand and learn from their experience.
And good Monday morning to everybody in Taranaki and beyond. This is Making Yourself at Home on Access Radio Taranaki 104.4 FM with your co-host Brian, myself from the United States, Clara from Spain, and Elena from Romania. And today we have a very special guest named Amna from Pakistan.
Yeah, good morning, Amna.
Hi, good morning.
Thank you so much for listening. If you would like to be part of our show, please contact us on our Facebook page, Making Yourself at Home.
We would love to hear your story. You can download our show from Spotify, Access Radio Taranaki website, or Apple Podcasts.
You're listening to Access Radio Taranaki, 104.4 FM.
And she also mentioned that it was a little bit challenging at the beginning. But now I see that she is quite happy and enjoying the life here in New Plymouth. So welcome, welcome, Amna.
Thank you for having me over, and thank you for such a warm welcome.
Yes, always.
Yeah.
Even though it's very cold outside today,
we are trying our best.
Yeah.
So
tell us a little bit about you. So you came here 3 years ago. Did you move directly from Pakistan?
We moved to New Plymouth directly from Pakistan. Because of my husband's job. And I thought that we'll be moving to such a big happening city. I didn't realize that New Plymouth would be really different. But even just coming to New Plymouth was a whole story itself. We went to the airport because we thought that, okay, finally we're leaving for New Zealand. It took a lot of time for our paperwork and for the visas and everything. So finally we were at the airport and all packed, said our goodbyes, cried happy, sad tears, farewelled everybody. And on the airport, they told us, well, you guys can't travel because we didn't have the Australian visa. It was just a transit. We were supposed to stay in the plane, but we still needed the visa. And my husband was furious. I was handling the kids. I was like, oh, we were meant to leave today. But so we came back home. Took us another 2 weeks. Got the visa. And during those 2 weeks, my husband got COVID. Sadly, my grandmother passed away. But it was quite sad. But the thing is, I think God has his plans. And that delay was probably something that it kind of worked for me, because I got to say goodbye to my grandmother.
Yeah.
I got to attend her funeral. And even though I did meet her before leaving, but it was something that I would have regretted once I was here, and it would have been quite emotional for me. But anyways, we left for New Zealand finally, and we had to take so many flights. It took us 3 days to get to New Zealand.
Wow.
Wow. From Pakistan. Really? Wow. So where do you change the flight when you come here?
We went to Qatar. From Qatar, we went to Maldives. From Maldives, Singapore. From there to Auckland, and then eventually New Plymouth.
Oh, it's a long way.
Yeah.
And how was it when you arrived? your first time in New Zealand. Were you imagining it like that?
No, I wasn't. Honestly, I wasn't. Yeah. And I think we were so disoriented, and I just wanted to get home and just be in bed, take a hot shower, and just lie down, because I could actually feel that I was still in air, because when you're in so many flights, I think those vibrations kind of stay in you.
Yeah.
Like you're still in air. So I just wanted to relax. But we landed sometime in the evening, and I think the sun was setting. So from the airport to the main city, the drive was really beautiful. But it started hitting. I was like, where are the tall buildings? Where is this? Where is the infrastructure? What's going on? Where are we?
Yeah.
But I saw the Mount Taranaki and it was covered in snow. So that was beautiful.
It's beautiful because sometimes people come for the weekend to Taranaki and they don't get to see the mountain. So you're seeing it like the moment you land here. That's very lucky.
It was so beautiful because I do remember it was covered in snow and it did have those circle of clouds around it. But I think that was the only best thing. So we settled and from there on it was a journey. Just navigating through, I took each day and figured out how to go about it. But initially, it was quite underwhelming and challenging for me.
So in terms of expectations, what were you underwhelmed by?
I think because, so I've lived in Abu Dhabi as well, in UAE. And even in Pakistan, everything is, there's so much hustle bustle there. So I thought it'll be more or less the same. I didn't realize things will close at 5 in the evening.
This is a big change, right?
Yeah.
And even in terms of the infrastructure or the architecture or just generally, I was expecting there'll be tall buildings and a lot of population. But it was quite calm and peaceful. And obviously coming from such a fast-paced life, it kind of took me some time to actually accept all this and come to terms with it. But yeah, I was expecting there'll be a lot of happenings going on, and but everything closed down at 5.
Yeah, it's quite surprising.
Yeah, and I used to wait for my, because we didn't, we had one car and my husband used to go to work, kids used to go to school. I was at the hotel because we were still looking for a house. And I used to stare out of my hotel window and look at the cars. I could actually count the cars passing by. I could there was a building opposite McDonald's and it was, and during that time they were bringing it down, I think.
Oh.
So I saw the workers working there and I used to see the progress every day. So that was my, how I spent the time. Over the time I did realize that, no, I need to step out.
Yeah.
This is not how it's going to be. I need to put myself out there, meet new people. And
And how was that process of, like getting to know your tribe here and meeting new people?
It was interesting, to be honest. I met a lot of Pakistanis to begin with, because obviously they were the first ones to welcome us. Whenever a Pakistani comes to New Plymouth, the whole community kind of welcomes them, invites them over for dinners or lunches. So I met the Pakistani community here, got to know them. And then we started getting invites to dinners and lunches. And I was just so excited because I used to get homemade food, because in hotels, you don't get to eat your own biryanis and chickens and all that.
Yeah.
So that was exciting. And from there on, I think somebody introduced me to Olena Williams. And then from there on, Olena started introducing me to other people. And I met people from different communities, became part of multiple ethnic communities.
So nice that we have Olena, so we can thank her.
Yeah.
Live. Thank you, Olena. Yeah. And I think also, like, Clara knows Olena and all of us know her, and she's a great part of the community. So thank you, Olena, for that.
Yeah.
And I can relate to your story with a hotel, because we came the same. We were sitting in a hotel and was so hard for me because we didn't have, we only had a stove, so I could just cook some milk and, you know, I couldn't cook anything.
Yeah, not whole meals.
Yeah, and staying there, like, we were staying for almost 3 weeks and felt for me like a very, very long time.
Yeah, we were there for almost 1.5 months.
Wow.
And I came to a point where I was telling my husband, I think I need therapy.
Yes.
I'm losing it. I need to talk to somebody because Because I think you do need your village in order to settle down and to rely on. I couldn't really call home in the morning because of the time difference. When it was our evening time here, it was morning there.
Yeah.
So my whole day passed by not talking to anybody. And I would call home in the evening like, I had such a terrible day. I'm not liking it. I want to come back home. But and every time I pass by the hotel and I look at the window, I'm like, it's such a long way that I've come a long way.
You did, well done for doing that. You know, it's not easy. And
yeah, it's not. It takes a lot of courage, and because your husband goes back to work, your kids start school. I had to like start all over again.
Yeah.
So for me, it was more challenging, but I'm glad that my husband was there to understand that. Yes, it is not easy for me, especially. And he encouraged me, like, look into work, find something that you have interest in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
what did you find beyond the Pakistani community?
So there was an exhibition at the Govert Brewster Art Gallery, and it was by a Pakistani artist, Aisha Khalid. This was back in 2023, 24.
The rugs? 23. Were they the rugs?
Yes, they were big tapestries.
Yeah.
And she had... So she was coming from Pakistan, and Aisha Khalid and I are from the same university. So even though she was quite senior to me, but I knew her. So I messaged her. I said, "Oh, so you're coming to New Plymouth?" And of all the places she was coming to New Plymouth, I just couldn't hold my excitement. So I messaged her. I said, "You're coming to New Plymouth. I live there. If you need anything, I'm happy to help you. If you want to have home cooked meal or you want to go anywhere, just let me know." So we got in touch. And then she said, "Listen, I might need a few things, so I'll get in touch with you." So I met her at the gallery, and at the gallery I met a few other curators and the people who were working in the gallery, and I made friendships there, and we're still friends, and we get to go out. Elaine, we get to meet for lunches and coffees, and then she started involving me in public programs. I started talking about my Urdu language, arts, craft, and I got involved in the gallery. And from there on, I met more people, and I made further more connections, and everything was based on art. And as a profession, I've done textile designing.
Mm.
I've studied textile. So that was quite exciting for me. Yes, I get to meet people from the same interest, and they love art. I like it too. And we had similar conversations.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Oh, that sounds so good. And I know the gallery because I was working there for quite a while.
Mm.
And they have such a nice exhibition. And, you know, Elaine, she's also part of the migrant community.
Yeah.
And so good that you had that support.
And I think you tend to expect that you'll end up making friends or connections within your own community. At least that's what I thought. But I think I made really good friends outside my community.
Mm-hmm.
With women, I don't think so. I would have ever imagined that we'll get along. And I think with Elaine, I have such a good connection, and she's been so encouraging. And because of her, I met new people and so on. But it's interesting to have these new friendships, and you get to learn so much from them. So I'm growing and I'm learning from them. And even though I do practice my art and design, I don't have a particular job in that, but I explored other fields because I wanted to keep myself busy as well. I just couldn't stay home.
Yeah,
it's good to keep ourselves like busy and connected to the people in the community.
Mm.
So after 3 years now, what are you enjoying the most of living here in New Zealand, in Taranaki?
I'm enjoying the beauty of Taranaki, the landscape itself, the peace and quiet also, and obviously the people, the connections and the friendships that I've made. And there's so many opportunities within New Plymouth, but you kind of have to figure it out yourself. And I'm kind of enjoying that also. Things that I would not have probably explored back home. You know how you're sometimes just one track minded, like, okay, so this is what I know and I'm just going to do this. You stay with that. If I know just arts and textiles, so I'm just going to focus on that because that's all I know. But here, I took up a lot of volunteer opportunities. I worked with Star Jam. Star Jam was running workshops for special needs kids. Mm. So I worked with them for 2 years. Sadly, they shut down. So mostly working with kids in school, helping migrants and refugees learn English language. So I'm doing all that and I'm enjoying it. And I've surprised myself also because I wasn't expecting myself to do that. I thought I'll be just painting and drawing and that's it. But I've explored this and I'm enjoying this. And maybe in the future, I want to further explore into these fields.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the beautiful things about kind of moving somewhere and restarting is just opening up the world of opportunities to explore. And get out of your comfort zone a little bit and learn new things and meet new types of people.
Even my friends back home were surprised. I was talking to a friend yesterday and she's like, oh, well, you've become a blogger now. Because I started a public page and I wanted to just put my work out there. I was a little scared initially. Because I do have social media profiles, but they're all like private, just with my friends. But like making a public profile was quite daunting initially. So anyways, I started posting pictures and my artwork and everything that I'm doing here. And I write what I'm feeling. So my friends back home, they were like surprised. Like, you're doing all this? Really? Like, even for them, it was a big surprise. And they think that I'm some influencer or a blogger here.
Wow, amazing.
But, I think sometimes you do need to take that leap of faith. And I think it took me a few years, but I'm happy where I am now.
You'll have to share a link to your blog so the audience and ourselves can check it out if you want.
Definitely.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Please share that and we'll post that in the our after show Facebook post.
No, definitely I'll do that.
Yeah, cool. I'm curious. What was your last blog post about? What were you sharing?
So I shared something. I displayed my work at the art space here.
Yeah.
So I wanted to just share that. So I put up a post about my work here and how it is such a nice space for emerging artists to take the first step if you want to display your work. I think this is the best place to take a step. So that was this was my latest post. Other than that, I do put up whatever I buy from here or the work that I've made, but I do make connections, very nostalgic connections and connections with home or the life I had before coming to New Plymouth. And it has happened unconsciously. Like I didn't make a conscious effort that, okay, so this is what I want to keep in mind when I'm making this design. Somehow when I'm done making a design, it kind of connects to some story from my previous time in Pakistan or memories. And I do include my kids and what they think about me or my work. So I do make these connections and make a narrative or story around it, and I post that with my work.
Nice.
So I enjoy that. I hope if you get to see it, you'll
find it. Yeah, we would like to see it.
Yeah, we would like to see it. And
to share it with the listeners, of course.
Yeah.
Yes. And how is about your kids, you know, how did they adapt here in New Zealand when they came? Was it easy for them or was more challenging at the beginning?
I was actually worried about them. Because as a mother, you do worry that because of the culture shock, whether they'll settle in, I don't want them to be bullied. That was the first thing. Because when we found out that we'll be moving, I couldn't sleep at night because I was just worried about my kids. Yeah. I know I'll figure it out. My husband will be okay. But I have them. I want them to be settled and be happy first. Mm. And surprisingly, they were happy. They adjusted well. And I think that has a lot to do with the school and the teachers and the kind of friends they make. And they go to a very good school, and that school has kids from different ethnicities also.
Yeah.
So it's nothing new for the current students there. And my kids love the school. They've adjusted well here. They've made friends. Somehow there was no big cultural shock for them. It's like they're just in their natural habitat, and this is what is for them. And I think, and even because of kids, I made some good new mom friends.
Yes.
And it's surprising how some of them do understand where you come from, and they're happy to help you in whatever way possible. So as Muslims, we do have some dietary restrictions. We can only have halal food. And I had to, if that was a process, I had to explain it to my kids. Because obviously in Pakistan, there's no concept of halal, or everything is halal. So you don't think about these things.
You have to think about it at all.
You have to think about even the candies. We have to make sure that there's no gelatin or anything that we can't have.
Yeah.
So I had to sit down with them, explain them that I'm not stopping you, because there are certain things that we can't have, but we just have to make sure, and if you need anything, you come to me. And now they're very particular about it, and even the friends, their friends know it too. So when they go to birthday parties, I'm grateful for such moms, honestly. They would actually message me that, so we have halal options for your kids, separate pizza. We have halal candies, and I've made separate goodie bags so they can have it too.
Oh, nice.
So I'm
so nice.
These are the small things that make me quite hopeful, and I'm quite grateful for such parents who do kind of, you know, think about other kids also. So I think I'm more grateful, and I have more faith in humanity because of these small efforts. These might seem small, but they go a long way. And the kind of impact they put on your child and on me, because that makes you feel that, okay, so we're included, we're respected the same way as everybody else. And even if it's not for me, I'm glad somebody's doing that for my kids.
And it's a nice community here in New Plymouth. Like, it's people, they really care. You can see, especially in schools. And
in schools.
Also, obviously, you are in a very good school.
Yeah.
At the moment.
So
nice. And so you said that you are doing your art. So you are implicated in that. Is there something else that you do? Because I know you do some work also with special kids still? Or
I was doing, so we were running workshops here in New Plymouth, singing and dancing with kids with special needs. It was,
really?
I think, but Star Jam closed down. Star Jam used to run those workshops, and I think it's quite unfair and unfortunate that there are less opportunities for kids for special needs. But I did that for 2 years with them, and it was the best time, honestly.
Oh, nice.
I went in thinking I'd be the one making a difference.
Yes.
I came back home, I was crying. I was like, what was I thinking?
Mm-hmm.
I got to learn so much from these kids. These kids are full of life, love, joy.
Yeah.
And it was just fun being with them. And I was talking to somebody yesterday that I miss them. I miss the kids from the workshop. We had such a good time. But let's see if something else comes up. I'm definitely going to join that. I work as a companion with Seasons for Growth. So we do go to different schools and help kids who are going through some grief and loss, and just help them navigate their feelings and make the right decisions. So I've been doing that. And I've just recently started teaching English to migrants and refugees. So I have a learner now, and I help her speak proper English.
Oh, really?
Not proper, but like good, like in a structured way. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really cool. Do you do that through any organization or on your own?
Well, there's an organization here, English Language Partners. So you get to train with them first, and then they match you with a learner. So I got matched recently, and it's interesting. And again, these were not the things that I had ever imagined I'd be doing. Yeah. But now I'm quite enjoying all this, and I want to continue doing this. And this is just my way of giving back to the community. Yeah,
it's amazing. Yeah.
Sounds like our post-show link or post is going to have plenty of links for our listeners to look into about getting involved and resources
yes.
they can either help with or be participants in.
Yeah, and they're always looking for more volunteers. So I think I'll definitely share the links and the names of the organizations. And if anybody is interested, please get in touch, because obviously we're I think the volunteers are quite the backbone of these organizations, and they're always on a lookout for more volunteers.
Mm.
Yeah, so I'll share all the details, and
that'd be great.
Yeah.
And it sounds like there's an opportunity for somebody to start their own organization that helps out with special needs children. So any listeners out there that are feeling inspired,
maybe they can join you, right? And then you can make an organization together. Or
I know. I hope someday. But there are a few organizations that are working for kids with Down syndrome or special needs.
Yeah.
Or they do keep a slot for kids with special needs to participate in their activities.
Yeah.
Enabling Good Lives is doing wonders here. But I think Star Jam was a big loss. It was quite an interesting way for kids to socialize and for families to come together, and kids just have fun and have a good time, and I think you know how you make core memories, and that's my core memory working with the kids and Star Jam. And even I made such good friendships with the volunteers that used to come there. We're still in touch, and we talk about old times and talk about how much we miss being with the kids and having such a good time.
Was Star Jam just strictly a local organization, or is it a nationwide model?
It was nationwide. It went into liquidation.
Mm.
Okay. But you can redo it again if you want. Or
yeah.
Somebody
can. If anybody is listening, you better.
Do you need some funding for that?
Yes, you need funding.
And did you try it with Toy Foundation or some other funding?
You need to have an organization for it first, and then you can apply for the funds.
Ah, interesting. Mm. Okay, good. Yeah, I think, we had last week, we had Graham from, who is part of also workshops with Venture Taranaki. So maybe you can get in touch with them and try to reconnect. Yeah. And also starting the startup weekend on the 11th of July.
Okay.
So you can come up with your own idea and maybe, who knows, redo it, you know?
Yeah.
It looks like you're very passionate about it. So
More of a community-based organization opposed to a national model.
Yeah.
The opportunity sounds like it's there.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Wow, amazing. And you were talking a lot about, your kids, yourself, and how you settled in. Do you often go to Pakistan, or do you visit your family, or how do you reconnect with them?
We went to Pakistan last year. So since we moved to New Zealand, that was the first time we went. So almost after 2 years.
2 years.
And it was for a month. And I had the best time in Pakistan. Oh, it was lovely being with the family, with my in-laws, cousins, the Pakistani food. And the best part was I had nothing to do. Like, I didn't have to clean, no cooking, no picking and dropping kids to school. And I told my parents, listen, you guys were missing your grandkids. Here are your grandkids.
Yes, just take them, right? Yeah.
Now, we were looked after pretty well. And we're planning to go again this year. But the time went by so quickly, even though it was just it was 4 weeks, but it felt like 4 days, and just meeting everyone. It was just nice being home and connecting with my friends. And I think my perspective about Pakistan has also changed since we've, when you move away from your country, you kind of see your country in a different way.
So true.
I think we cannot relate to
relate
that.
To that yes.
In one way or another. I think like you perhaps value things in a different way.
Exactly.
You miss the things that you were assuming that you will always have, perhaps, or the connections and the people that you had in your country.
Sometimes we do tend to take things for granted, or it's like, well, it's like nothing new. This is the norm. But when you leave everything and you move to another country, that's when you realize that, no, I missed this, and this was actually the best part. And but you do tend to see your country in a very different perspective. And I think your patriotism kind of increases.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, the love for your country. But yeah, I'm...
It's amazing.
What part of Pakistan did you go back to?
So I was born and brought up in Lahore.
Okay.
And we used to live in Islamabad. My husband and I used to live in Islamabad because his job was there. And Islamabad is the capital city of Pakistan. But we both are from Lahore. Our parents and in-laws are in Lahore. So we went to Lahore. And Lahore is quite a big city. And there's so much going on there. There's so much, plenty to eat, plenty to see, plenty to do. Islamabad is more or less like New Plymouth.
Yeah.
Still a little more fast-paced, but it's very much like New Plymouth. Even the landscape is like New Plymouth.
Similar.
Similar. Yeah. There are mountains in the background, and because it's in the north of Pakistan and the northern area is all mountainous. So Islamabad is quite beautiful that way.
Wow,
and
amazing.
Lahore is a big urban city, big infrastructure, less trees.
Yeah.
But, and very hot.
Very hot. So the climate,
what's the temperature?
Yeah.
It's summers now in, it's the opposite in Pakistan.
Yeah.
And it's around 40 degrees now.
Wow.
It's pretty hot. Like
it will even get a little bit warmer, no? So what's like more summer,
it's
like in a month or so?
Yeah.
It's going to be warm there. Not warm. Warm is a very neutral word. It's going to be hot in Pakistan. Not
yes.
in throughout Pakistan, but mostly in Lahore and a couple of other cities. And it's cold and pleasant from December onwards.
December, right?
Yeah.
Do you have snow there or not?
Not in Lahore, but
yeah.
In the mountainous areas, yes.
Yeah. And do you reach minus degrees?
We do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's similar like in Europe, right?
Yeah, I was
yes.
imagining similar to Europe. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you mentioned about the food, and that's something that we always
yes,
like to
we
ask
always
our meet. Guests. What's the traditional food in Pakistan, and how do you do it to eat those things here? Is it possible for you?
It is actually possible to cook here, but because back home we had these gas stoves, so the flame kind of matters. If you have like high heat, cooking is pretty easy, especially the Pakistani cuisine. But on the electric stoves here, the induction stoves, it's really difficult to, it takes a lot of time. I think I was talking to Alina when we met that I used to enjoy cooking and I dread cooking here. Please, I'll have takeouts or I'll just make something that I can put in the oven and don't have to cook, because on my stove, it only detects certain parts and it only heats in the center of the pot, and it takes so much time for me to cook the kind of curries that we eat. But I do make Pakistani cuisine here because that's what we eat every day. Biryanis and gravies, chicken gravies and chicken kadais and bread. Lots
do you
of
make
rice.
Your own bread, like the flat bread, or you have also
back home we do make it ourselves, but here I don't put in that effort.
No.
I buy store-bought naans
and
even the pita breads. And
do
I
you buy it
that.
From Pack and Save or like
Pack and Save
yeah,
or Otomo.
Okay, Otemo, yeah. Yeah, it's a good place to go and buy
Otemo stuff. Has really nice naans. Mm-hmm. So I do that. I don't have the energy or I don't want to put in the effort to knead the dough first and then wait for the oven to get hot. And then because we make, we call it chapati or roti back home. So it's like the round bread. It's thinner than the naan. And it gets cooked, hot rotis back home. And it gets cooked in every household.
Wow. Yeah. So you have like a special stove in each household?
No, it gets cooked on... So it has a special pan, basically. It's like a flat pan.
Like when you have a pan for crepes, for example.
Yes, something like that.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
It's thinner like that also. Yeah. And the pans are similar to crepes. Mm. And hot rotis and parathas. But
yeah, we would like to have that. And I was just talking with when I met with Amna about biryanis, you know.
Yeah.
And I really like that biryani. And she said that when they cook it, you know, they have it to make it for more people in order to be good.
Yeah.
You can't just make it for four people, right? You have to make it like a...
I made biryani over the weekend.
Yeah.
And because it takes a lot of effort. It has different, but the main ways that you have to make the curry separately, make the rice, boil the rice separately, fry onions and potatoes, and then you layer them in the pot.
Mm.
And then you let them steam. And so the aromas, they would get mixed in with the rice. So I made biryani over the weekend. I made a bulk of biryani. That
how many people could you feed with that?
I think good 10 people.
Mm. 10 people, okay.
But I told my kids and husband, I'm making this effort.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of effort making a biryani. So I told them I'm making this effort. Everybody's going to eat this for one whole week. I'm not cooking anymore.
Each day you give them biryani.
My kids don't eat it, obviously.
Oh, really?
But I make sure my husband eats it. I put in so much effort, so we have to. But I do make one dish more, so there's a bit of change.
Change for
But then you don't have to worry about cooking
for
the rest
don't
of
have
the week.
To.
And if it's yum.
Yeah. It's the same like you have, Clara, this... Spanish dish, how it's called?
Paella.
Paella. Paella is the same, like it's very.
But paella normally you will eat it on the day. Yeah,
on the day.
But it's also something that is it's better when it's done for more people. Having paella for two, for example, it would be a little bit odd. You can always have it and you can go to a restaurant and order it. But if you cook it at home, normally it would be for four people. But yeah, it's something paella better to have on the day that is cooked.
On the day, right? Oh, interesting. I want to try paella also from Clara.
I used to just cook for, I just knew the proportions for 2 to 3 people.
Yeah.
I just couldn't cook more than that. But moving to New Plymouth and meeting the Pakistani community, because when we used to get invited to dinners and lunches, they used to be around 6-7 dishes, main dishes,
mm-hmm.
3-4 desserts.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be so overwhelming for me because obviously I had to return the favor, host them, people who invited us. Obviously, I had to call them over our place also.
Yeah.
And I would actually dread doing that. I'm so sorry if you're listening. But the part is not them coming over to my place. It was the cooking part. And I've told my friends, listen, I'm sorry, I don't invite you guys, but I will. I just need to get that courage to make food for 10-15 people and lots of food. And it's not just one dish. And so friends here, the Pakistani community friends, they started making fun of me. They're like, give her anything, but don't ask her to cook.
Yes,
because I used to get so stressed out because I don't want to ruin it. I want the recipe to be okay. Because when you're making it for more people, I always get lost with the proportions. I mess it up usually. So I'm fine making it for a few people, but for 10-15 people, I can't.
Yes.
But I've practiced.
You found your way.
I found my way, and I can make food for a lot of people now.
And it's quite interesting because here in New Plymouth or New Zealand, you know, you always bring a plate. So like in Romania, we also like when somebody came to us, we cooked for everyone.
Mm.
But now here, I don't have to cook for everybody. So everybody brings something and we share. And I remember when my mother came here and she said, oh, I don't have to cook for everybody. And everybody can bring a dish and we can share. And she told her friends in Romania and they were like, wow, so amazing. You know, we don't have to do that. So I think it's a change, like a cultural change.
Yes, I was about to say that. It has a lot of culture to, like, there's a lot of cultural aspect to it as well. Somehow we're unable to break that.
No, we
just cannot do one dish. Maybe a few of us would be okay doing it, but it would be like, no, we want to host you. You are not going to bring anything. We're going to cook it for you.
Yes, same
and
with us.
They don't mind that, but I would happily do a one dish, bring a dish to share because I just cannot make so much. It's like really stressful for me.
Yeah.
And when I'm hosting, like I'm just looking after the dishes and just putting in hot food and I'm not enjoying myself. So I want to be able to sit and enjoy with the people I've invited over.
Yeah.
But it definitely has, culture has a lot to do with it. Even back home, if you're looked down upon, if you're like serving one dish, you're like, did you see that? They just served one dish? It was just one dish. So
Yes, it is a... Because it's like it's the prosperity and what the family brings, you know, like it's like if you have a lot of food, then it means you are very, you know, very nice and welcoming. And but if you have only one, then, you know.
And I think there should be no, one should not feel ashamed in doing that. We do need to learn to break these, what do you call it? I won't say it's cycle, but these habits. It's okay. I think we need to enjoy what's being put on the table, whether it's 600 dishes or just one dish, and enjoy the company. And I like that more. I've tried it once and I've actually enjoyed that. I did invite a couple of friends and I had just one dish and it was such a good time. But yes, we do need to break these habits.
And just, you know.
Or at least talk about them. I mean, like talk about it with your friends because perhaps they are thinking the same. You are thinking and no one is talking about it because no one wants to feel ashamed, I guess.
Yeah. No, actually, most of them do agree with it. But eventually, it comes down to our husbands.
Okay.
All right. So some of them would be like, but you see, let's do two dishes each. Or let's do, I'll bring a dessert and I'll bring a main dish as well. So I think just generally us women, when we'll get together, we'll happily do that. But when the whole family is included, then we want to make sure that everybody is well fed because food is kind of the priority. So,
and what's a traditional dessert in Pakistan?
There are plenty, but I think one that you might have tried here as well, gulab jamuns. They are like sweet, sugary balls in syrup, sugar syrup.
So sugar syrup, yeah. I've never tried them.
I've never tried them.
And we do have, we call it kheer. It is made out of rice, soaked in milk and cardamom and lots of nuts. There's plenty of desserts, local desserts, and mostly made out of milk and nuts.
That's right.
Yeah.
And if, for example, me from another culture, I would like to try from your food, you know, is there any opportunities like open day for the Pakistanese community or like do you make this kind of events?
We do have an event coming up on 28th of June. It's an Eid event. We usually do Eid galas every year. It'll be at the Raceway Lamer Lounge. From 11 o'clock onwards, 11 till 3. So if you really want to come see the Pakistani culture and the food, you're more than welcome. It's open for public.
Beautiful.
Another link to share.
Yeah. So you'll get to eat Pakistani barbecue on it and some paratha rolls and all that. So there'll be local food there.
So who is organizing this kind of event?
Is the Pakistani community is.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
And we're like a really small community now. We used to be quite a big community, but over the years people have moved out of New Plymouth and New Zealand as well. But we're a small community now, very small. And we didn't think that we'll be able to pull this together.
Yeah.
But everybody's working together. Interestingly, it's so nice because the whole community is doing it together this time.
Mm-hmm.
Usually there's a president, vice president, and there's this whole executive team, and they plan everything and they involve a few other. But because we're so such a small community, we're doing it together. Everybody's involved.
Nice.
And we are hosting it, the Pakistani community.
Wow. Yeah. If you need maybe volunteers or people to help you, maybe
yes,
you can reach out.
Definitely. We do want volunteers, and so far things have been sorted, but obviously on the day of the event we would like people helping us out, and more importantly we would like people to come and be part of our event and enjoy the food and the music.
Will be some dancing or stuff, or like
so usually we don't do the dancing.
No,
it's not really part of our culture and religion, though sometimes when I'm talking about culture, I kind of have to differentiate religion and culture, because religion doesn't really allow it. But in Pakistan, we do tend to dance on weddings and functions. But over here, on public events, we don't do that. Nobody's really actually comfortable doing it also, and we don't really do it publicly.
Mm-hmm.
It's just within our families or close friends.
Mm-hmm.
But not outside of that. But there'll be music, Pakistani music.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, it's looking forward to that. I mean,
I really hope my schedule's open that day. That sounds like a really wonderful event.
It's the weekend, so try coming Saturday.
It's a
Saturday.
28th of June, right?
28th of June.
It's the weekend after Matariki?
I think so. Or is the weekend with the Matariki? Yeah.
After, no, Matariki is the 21st?
Something like that. I hope so. I'm out of town Matariki weekend, but hopefully in town for that.
Yeah.
And when you feel into the future, do you see you and your family staying here in New Zealand or coming back? What are your feels about the future?
This stage I am at now, I don't want to leave. I want to stay here. Mm-hmm. Had you asked me this 3 years back, I would have been like, give
hotel,
me the
right?
first
yeah.
ticket back home.
Mm.
But no, I think I want to stay. Even if my husband does ask me, so do you want to stay? Should we go somewhere else? Should we move? And I think about all that I've achieved, all the friendships I've made here. I don't want to go.
Yeah.
I like it here, and I'm happy to call this home. I'm happy to call New Plymouth
home.
Nice.
Yeah, and I really understand you, because it was the same for us. You know, I came with the same, with my husband and the kids more. And I think I'm so happy now that my husband also, he gave up his job in Romania, and just that we can stay here and enjoy the time, the family time, which is more important than other things that brought us here.
And no, please go ahead.
Something our guest last week brought up was instilling a sense of his home country in his children. So he was Irish, and he thought it was important to keep a sense of being Irish with his children. How do you feel about that with your children and them identifying as Pakistani?
I'm quite... I make sure that they know it, that they're Pakistanis, and they're quite proud of their heritage, and they're quite proud of their nationality as well. And there's not a day that we don't talk about it.
Mm.
That is something that's their identity.
Mm.
And even if we live in New Zealand, Australia, anywhere in the world, even if our passports get changed, in the end of the day, we're still Pakistanis, and we should I instill in them that we should be proud of who we are and we should always be open to learning and understanding and accepting from the people around us, and take the good things, make it part of your personality, move forward from there. But definitely, I make sure that they know that they're Pakistanis and they're Muslims, and they should be proud of it. Mm. And we do talk in Urdu at home. Urdu is our national language. So my husband and I, we talk with our kids in Urdu, and they understand it, though they try not to speak it. They do. It's broken Urdu, but they do make an effort. And they miss home, especially when we went back last year. And now I think they're at an age where they're absorbing everything and they can understand things now. And they miss home also. And they're quite proud of who they are.
In a cricket match, do they root for New Zealand or Pakistan?
Pakistan.
Yeah.
Pakistan, but some of my kids' friends back home, they kind of support New Zealand. And they support New Zealand because they say that, oh, my friend live in New Zealand, so I want to support New Zealand. But,
nice.
Did they play cricket here?
They do.
Yeah.
They do. But at the end of the day, I do tell them that accepting your identity, but you have to be kind. Kindness will take you places. If you're not kind, there's no point of you being. Doesn't matter you're a Muslim, doesn't matter you're a Pakistani or a New Zealander, you need to be kind and you have to respect people around you, respect yourself. So, and I think it takes a lot of effort teaching all that here. If you're not living in your country, it's double the work teaching about your religion, who you really are. And it's been quite... It's challenging.
It's a journey, right?
Yeah. But I'm enjoying it also because I'm learning from it also. I would not have put in this much effort back home because everything is naturally going on in its space. Everything you have, your surroundings. We get to pray 5 times a day. We get to hear the azan back home. But here we do. I make that extra effort so that we don't forget who we are or our roots.
Oh, it's so beautiful. So
the a question I held off earlier, and it's because it's typically what we close the show with, is looking back 3 years ago and the challenges you were facing and settling in, what advice do you wish you had then? What would you tell your previous self if you could go back in time, or what advice would you offer somebody that's moving into New Plymouth? Expecting more, I guess, and feeling underwhelmed.
I'd say that come with an open mind. Leave all the expectations or assumptions aside and just accept things how they are and take one day at a time. Don't just plan 2 years ahead that this is what I want to do. Sometimes plans don't work out the way we think that they would. So I think I would just, if it was me, I would tell myself that I have to be more open-minded and take one day at a time. And definitely make an extra effort to go out and meet new people. Nobody's going to just come up to you. Sometimes you have to make that effort on your own, and you have to make that effort on your end. I think I want to give myself some credit that I did put myself out there, and I made an extra effort to meet people. And I went up to people to say, "Hi, I'm Amna. I'm from Pakistan. I've just recently moved here." And that's how I've made conversations and met people.
Beautiful. If you're a kid moving somewhere, it's usually pretty easy to make friends, I think. But anytime, it's not easy making friends as adults because we already have our set friend groups. We have the activities that we're involved with. And it's, we're not as good about we have our kind of predisposed notions and expectations, and it's not the easiest thing to make connections socially as adults.
And sometimes we have these high expectations and limitations also. So I think we need to learn to accept people the way they are. Because back home, I would just hang out, or I would have a certain group of friends because we're all like-minded. We have the same wavelengths. But when you move to another country, you will get to meet people from your same country, but everybody would come from a different walk of life. Mm. And you can't, it'll be unfair to expect that, okay, so we'll be the same, we'll match on the same wavelength. That's not the case. We have to meet halfway, and we need to learn to accept them for how they are and who they are. So I think that's kind of a point that is quite important as well, at least from my experience. I thought that everybody is more or less like me, but that's not the case. And you're right, at this age, it's quite difficult to make friendships and new connections. But you don't know, you might end up making friends that would, friendships that would last a lifetime.
Yeah. What you described just sounds like such a way to grow as a person and grow your life experience, is opening up and being accepting. It's beautiful.
I think I'm quite humbled over the years also.
Yeah.
You know how you're on this high pedestal and you think that, oh, it's just you and your ideas. But some experiences, some people, or they kind of humble you as well. And instead of feeling that you're rejected, or, okay, I'm just not going to talk to anybody anymore, take a learning lesson from that. And I think there were so many rejections, not just in case of friendships, but work-wise as well, that I had to finally accept that, okay, so if this is not working for me, maybe I should look into something else and explore something else. But I'm not going to put myself down, because obviously it is hard. It's not okay to be so positive all the time either, but it is definitely hard. It takes time. But there should always be a learning lesson from that.
And it's so true, you know, what you said. Like, we don't have to take everything personally, because sometimes, you know, things are happening because they are just happening, and our culture is so different from the others, and we are so different from people here in New Zealand. But it's okay, you know, we respect each other, and we move forward.
Yeah, exactly. I guess just moving to another country, it opens your mind. Like,
it definitely does. Like, yes, it definitely
does. You are
open
to doing other different things, meeting different people, and embracing that diversity, I guess, which I really enjoy from living here.
Yes,
and meeting people from
many countries,
all
right?
Over the world. And that we might be very different, but at the end, I feel like we all want to feel happy.
And we have so many similarities also. Like, we think that we're like different from one another, but when you talk to each other, we do realize that there's so much similar in cultures, and like, we can relate to one another easily as well. But I like this, that there's so much diversity and learning from one another and accepting as well. I started giving up on my culture and all that, but I started learning from people from multiple ethnic communities that you should be proud of who you are.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
And also, like, the, you know, I really like them when we do the migrant community, you know, Taranaki multi-ethnic extravaganza, and you have to take your flag and go on the streets, you know. I never did that because nobody from my community wanted to do it. But now, like, I'm trying to, you know, I want to bring that life. You know, I think it's so important for us to,
I did,
you know,
that
go
this
back to
year. And
you
I
said
was,
you were,
yeah, and I was
one,
the
right?
only one with my country's flag.
Yeah. Okay. Well done.
When is
well.
The next one? So next year?
In March.
In
March next year.
Okay,
so I will also do it.
I think we should all go together. If we're all alone, we should do it together.
We should do it together.
That'll be fun.
And hopefully all of our Making Yourself at Home listeners show up also with their home flags.
Yes.
That has been a very fast hour.
Yes,
I hope our listeners have enjoyed the conversation as much as we have here in the studio. And I hope everybody is going to have a great week. Signing off here from Access Radio Taranaki 104.4 FM with our very special guest, Amna from Pakistan, and our co-hosts, Clara, Alina, and Brian. Everybody have a safe and beautiful week.
Thank you.
Enjoy your week.
See you next Monday.
Bye.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.